Welcome to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schager. Our guest today is Kimber Lanning. She's the founder and executive director of Local First Arizona Foundation. She's here to tell us more about the Local First Arizona movement in general, and in particular, the 4th Annual Arizona Food and Farm Finance Forum, taking place May 18th and 19th at the University of Arizona's Environment and Natural Resources 2 building.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, we're really excited about everything that's happening here in Tucson in the local space. I think just sort of naturally, Tucson is about the most local town in the whole state.
What leads you to believe that?
Well, I just think that folks in Tucson are fiercely proud, and they like knowing who they're doing business with. You also have a lot of older building stock that lends itself to micro-entrepreneurs opening up a business. And I think that, you know, just generally the culture of Tucson is about relationships. And one of the things that we really advocate for at Local First Arizona is reminding folks that local business ownership, that's really how the country was founded, and it was based on relationships. And so we have found in the work, I mean, we have 4 statewide offices now, that Tucson is really, really geared towards supporting its locally owned businesses and its local radio station. People love it. They do.
It's fun to hear that. Of course, we do have a lot of Tucson pride here, and we do agree with you, but it's nice to hear another point of view on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's definitely places around Tucson where you just stumble on a cluster of cool little businesses. And oftentimes you find that they're collaborating and working together. So, you know, I think that the main thing that we try to help people understand is that when you have really strong local businesses like retailers and restaurants, they also in turn support the business, the small business community of services like accountants and graphic designers and website developers. And it's really an ecosystem of jobs that are supported when you support local businesses at the retail level. So you can think of it as, you know, I'm spending money at the retail or restaurant, but that money is staying and reverberating through the community here. I just really think that Tucson gets local, and we're excited to be here. And I'm really interested to see and amazed and impressed with everything that Tucson has going on in the food space in terms of heritage foods. I know what you've done here through University of Arizona as well as smaller nonprofits like Native Seed Search and others that have really identified the importance of understanding what grows in the desert and how to preserve and protect not only the seeds that enable us to be self-reliant, but the practices that help us be more sustainable. And so the fact that you recently won the City of Gastronomy from a UNESCO perspective is so impressive. And so we're really excited to bring the Food and Farm Finance Forum here. Again, it was founded here and it's moved around the state, but it's back in Tucson. And that enables a lot of people in the food production space to come together to come up with solutions and identify challenges.
Who should attend the 4th Annual Food and Farm Finance Forum, Kimber Lanning?
You know, it's really open to everyone from backyard growers and gardeners to anybody that manages a school garden, all the way up to full-on food production organizations. So that could look like farmers, and that could look like food distributors. It could look like people who are interested in health equity and how access to locally produced healthy food is critically important to having students be able to perform well in school or to prevent diseases that will debilitate them or cause them to have a shorter health span, lifespan. So I think it's really important that we look at food and the ecosystem around food as an opportunity for us to create a more healthy and resilient Tucson economy and really Southern Arizona economy, because we're going to see people coming in that are doing, you know, cattle ranching, to farmers, to food distributors, people that are running farmers markets. So there's a lot of different touch points. Our hope is that we will also get in some larger grocery stores that are interested in sourcing more local food. So we'll be covering topics, you know, helping farmers mitigate risk. You know, study after study is showing that farmers are not nearly well compensated enough for the amount of work that they do. So how can we help them mitigate risk? How can we help them lower their overhead? Does that look like collaboration or just simply sharing resources? That's what we're trying to accomplish at the Food and Farm Finance Forum. So I think that a wide variety of stakeholders in the healthy food system here in Southern Arizona are all welcome to attend.
It's great to hear you talking about how the Food and Farm Finance Forum is for everyone, for people concerned about health, for growers, for consumers, for all levels of projects. I heard you mention equity. I think that's an important topic because sometimes when we talk about the city of gastronomy, sometimes it gets marketed as something that, like, we just have a lot of good restaurants.
Oh, right. And I think that your point is very well taken, that there's so much more to a food system than just the restaurants. And by the way, the restaurants, we try to encourage them to source as much locally, again, to build more opportunity in the food space. So if you've got a restaurant that's sourcing locally, those are creating jobs right here in the community. And that might be butters, jellies, jams, breads, in addition to produce, beef, and poultry and other such things that you might see produced here locally. But to your point, health and healthy food needs to be accessible to all residents in Tucson. So it isn't just about those of us that can afford to go out to eat. It also is encouraging people to be backyard farmers, to grow food, to provide healthy opportunities for families. And it can be a multi-generational experience as well. We get excited when we have grandparents that are actively teaching children how to grow. And there's so many different histories and stories associated with food in this region that it's very ripe to get involved. So if you're listening right now and you're thinking, I've always wanted to start a garden at home, it's a good opportunity to come out, ask questions, meet other people who have done it, and they'll be able to help you get the tools and resources that you need to get started. One other thing that I think is unique about the Food and Farm Finance Forum is that we do bring in funders that are interested in lending in the agriculture space. So many Arizonans don't realize how much money we have deposited in non-local banks. Those are big banks that their headquarters are far away from here, and their underwriting for loans is far away from here. So what we are really advocating for is to get more money into credit unions, local banks, and help other organizations like CDFIs, little financial institutions that are willing and interested to lend to small entrepreneurs. In the food space, it's particularly hard to get funding because sometimes the risks are very high. So at the Food and Farm Finance Forum, we're actually going to bring in institutions that are willing to lend in the agriculture space so they can have one-on-one conversations with a farmer who may be interested in acquiring additional land. You know, do they work out a pro forma that shows, okay, if you have X amount of potential new customers, can you acquire another acre? What does that look like? For a backyard farmer, you know, the question might be, all right, if I wanted to grow this into a community garden in which all of my neighbors could participate, how do we begin to fund that or think about what the business model might look like to make sure that it's sustainable? Maybe we need to have a full-time person oversee that community garden. How are we going to fund that? Those are the types of topics we'll be addressing.
How did you manage to strike up conversations with lenders?
At Local First Arizona, we reached out to every single local institution in the state that we could find, and we simply started having the conversation, you know, all of Arizona's local banks combined just a few years ago had only 4% of our deposits, only 4%. 96% of our money was deposited in non-local banks. And again, that money is getting invested in somebody else's community, but wasn't really being invested back in ours via the small business sector, which is where real job creation is actually occurring. So we just started a conversation with them. What are you doing to market yourself? Are you branding yourself as a local financial institution? And most of them were not. So we've been able to play a key role in, particularly in the Tucson market, with our credit union partners, Vantage West, Hughes Federal. There are several partners that we have here to get more people to put their money in into those institutions, which they in turn lend back out in the form of small business loans. It's the best, most healthy thing you can do for this region. So I started Local First Arizona in 2003, and there were largely two things that were on my mind. You know, I'm a small business owner. That's my background. And I have a music store that I've had for 30 years. And in that space, I was watching more and more and more bright young people leave Arizona. And they were going off and doing great things in Portland or Seattle or Boston or Chicago. And I started to get a little defensive about that. Like, why aren't you staying and doing great things in our state? And they would say things to me like, this place has no culture. You know, I just got to get out. And I started thinking, why is it that I feel that Arizona is just full of culture? And why are they missing it? And I realized that I was raised in a very entrepreneurial household. And also my parents were pretty scrappy and they really wanted to get out. And so they would throw the kids in the van. And I think I'd visited 10 Arizona lakes by the time I was 10 years old. I just knew the state. And we had a network of small business owners across the state. We always stayed at the B&B or the small little lodge that was locally owned. But I didn't realize at the time that that was different than everybody else's experience, right? We never stayed in a big hotel of any kind. And I realized that that relationship that my family was building was critical to how I feel about Arizona and my place, because it's the faces, it's the people, it's the history that connects me to this place. So I wanted to build a network of local businesses that people who move here from somewhere else can instantly tap into this cool network of local businesses across the state. The second thing that was on my mind was that I wanted to create a level playing field for the locally owned businesses. Many people don't realize how many subsidies are being given to big chain stores. You know, Cabela's, many people are familiar with Cabela's. You know, they average about $35 million per store in subsidies. And that means they come in and they say, if we're going to open up in your town, you've got to pay us this, you got to give us this. So the city of Glendale, they gave them $68 million worth of subsidies. They got cash, they got free land, they got infrastructure, all the plumbing and sidewalks and everything. And then they got a 10-year tax abatement. And what that means, when you have a sales tax abatement, you go in and you buy something and you pay your sales tax, well, they get to keep it. So that keeps money directly out of our fire departments and our parks and our libraries. And so when I saw that, you know, Walmart's average $25 to $35 million per store, Bass Pro got a $32 million subsidy. These types of things were a raw deal for Arizonans, and I wanted to put a stop to them. Hey, I'm all about competition, but let's have a level playing field. It's not fair that you're taking my taxpayer money and giving it to a competitor. So let's just keep our governments out of our business and let's just compete. And so we've worked really hard to do that. And so we've been able to limit the amount of subsidies given, particularly for chain stores. Now, if folks are out there thinking that, you know, I'm comparing base industry sector jobs to retail jobs, I'm not. So I'm talking about chain store subsidies and not necessarily the types of subsidies you might see for a bigger company. Personally, I don't want to see any subsidies, but I understand the argument from an economic development perspective that if we subsidize this company this small amount, they'll come here and they'll create a job. They'll create jobs and make an investment on their own. I think too often we think, well, they wouldn't come here if we didn't subsidize them. But I think if we build great places where people want to be, they'll come here whether or not we pay them to or not. But, you know, like Cabela's, they claimed they were going to be the second largest tourist attraction in the state of Arizona after the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's don't insult our intelligence. That's absurd. I think it's really important that we learn to cherish and value our local businesses, and also to recognize that companies, you know, like Infusionsoft or GoDaddy, that are homegrown Arizona companies, they created a whole lot of jobs and we didn't have to pay them to do it. It's a great investment to grow Arizona companies and to support them. They will in turn create jobs and make us proud of our state. So at Local First Arizona, we run a wide variety of programs now. And we started with just me knocking on doors. And today we have a team of just over 20 staff in 4 statewide offices. And so we work on creating more sustainable and resilient economies around Arizona. So in 2009, we formed the Local First Arizona Foundation. And there are 3 pillars that the foundation is focused on. One of them is rural community and economic development. In 2013, we acquired the Arizona Rural Development Council. So we currently work in about 20 different rural communities across the state, helping them strategize how they can create jobs and plug economic leaks and create more opportunities for the next generation to stay in rural and create lives for themselves. The second area we work in is, we call it a business accelerator program. It is called Fuerza Local, which is Spanish for stronger together, or we're a stronger force together. It's a 6-month business accelerator program that helps low-income Latinos learn more business skills and earn a credit score. So during the time they're with us, they participate in a money pool or like a lending circle. Some people call it a lending circle. It's been used around the world for centuries. We've digitized that with our partnership called eMoney Pool, and we've created an opportunity. They make on-time payments for 6 months during the time they're with us, and those payments get reported to Experian. They get all that money back at the end of the program, and then we match them whatever they saved through our foundation. And when they graduate, they have their first time ever credit history. So many of them are at the predatory lender, like the loan, title loan place or the check cashing place, because not because they have bad credit, but because they have no credit. So they graduate with a credit history and a relationship with a credit union that will then lend them money. And we're acutely interested in expanding this program into Tucson. Currently, we are in Mesa, Maryvale, Avondale, and Phoenix. So we would love to be able to expand that. So that's the second area that we're working in, which is investing in underserved entrepreneurs as a way to grow jobs. Our first 77 graduates have created 158 jobs, which is really powerful. And then the third area is food. And I'm excited about everything that we have going on in building a more sustainable, resilient, and equitable food system for Arizona. I think a good way to think about it, a lot of people don't really think about food that much. They just pick it up at the grocery store. You know, on the one hand, it's always on our mind. And on the other hand, the real issues around food are not on our mind. So, you know, for example, we work on helping communities figure out where there could be more relationships between food production and food distribution. We certainly help streamline the process to source more food. So our chefs and restaurants are very tapped in. We run a website that's called Good Food Finder, and goodfoodfinderaz.com. There's over 1,000 local food producers listed on the site already, and it's a growing resource. It's by no means complete. It's just been launched about a year ago, and we're working to continue to build it. I think one way for folks to really think about it is last year in Arizona, we exported $2.8 billion worth of food. You know, agriculture is a big economic engine for the state of Arizona. However, at the same time, in the same period, we imported $3.2 billion worth of food. So what that means basically is that we're growing a whole lot of tomatoes and shipping them off so that we can import somebody else's tomatoes. And ideally, we would like to figure out how many more jobs and dollars we could keep recirculating here if we figured out how to streamline that system and we bought the tomatoes that we grew. I think what's important for people to understand between the difference between Local First Arizona, which is what people know us for, which is that big coalition of local businesses, over 3,000 of them across the state, and the Local First Arizona Foundation, which is not a membership organization. It's a 501c3 that's working on building more equitable communities. And we're approaching it from a number of different ways. So some people go, gosh, you guys have all this different stuff going on. But in reality, it is very targeted different strategies to build more equity and more opportunity in our community so that we're not having an economy that is attached to the boom and bust of real estate and sprawl, which has historically kind of been where our state has landed. So that looks like looking at one of our biggest assets is food production. How could we leverage that to grow more jobs? Another opportunity is in spending. With business spending, those are dollars going out the door. Could we leverage that spend to create more jobs in Southern Arizona? So if you've got a company that's awarded, let's just say they've awarded a contract to Staples for their office supplies, we might come in and help them understand the true cost. So they awarded that contract because in their mind, they're thinking it was the cheapest price. But a company like Staples has 65% part-time employees with no health care benefits. So those employees end up on the state of Arizona's health care plan, and the taxpayers are funding that. So that's basically saying, well, okay, Staples, you'll give me a cheaper price and I'll pay increased taxes to cover the healthcare benefits of your employees. So we like to call that deferred billing, right? That's just a different way of paying for it. So we can demonstrate again and again how that is not a true cost savings, and that people should look around to a local alternative because you may think that it's more expensive, but we can actually demonstrate to you that it's not. So the foundation comes in and does economic studies. It comes in with creative opportunities to help in the realm of community and economic development. And there are new models. And, I really want to underscore that we're not on – these are not just Kimber's ideas. They're not just local first ideas. There are studies and studies and studies demonstrating that a stronger strategy to create jobs is to invest in the local businesses that can grow, to make sure that they have adequate access to capital, make sure that our workforce is capable of servicing them, and let them grow. Let them grow. Make sure that we don't have too much of a burdensome regulatory process. And that's much more effective than going out and trying to attract companies to move into our region. So we're not alone. There's plenty of studies. Another study that came out just recently that I'd like to highlight is called Older, Smaller, Better. And in Older, Smaller, Better, it was done by Preservation Green Lab. They demonstrate that cities that protected their older building stock are actually faring better in terms of job creation and in terms of real estate performance even. They found out that it turns out young people really like old buildings. And I love this creative strategy to measure where hip young people were hanging out. Where do you have quality nightlife? They did a lot of work here in Tucson. They actually measured cell phone usage on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock. And they overlaid that with the parts of town that had more older buildings per block. And they directly correlate. So what you're seeing there is older buildings provide the vital incubator space for small businesses to get their doors open. And cities that preserve that older building stock are really thriving. You know, I just did the keynote at the Historic Preservation Conference in Denver, and I didn't have to work hard. I Googled the top 10 restaurants in Denver, and every single one of them is in a funky old building. Every one. So it's part of an economic development strategy. It should not be forgotten, and we need to build bridges between our economic developers and our planners who are making decisions about how our cities grow. We need to protect our older buildings at all costs.
In my mind, it's great to hear all about that, and yet I think about hip young people and cell phones and old buildings. Who are they displacing?
Well, with the older buildings, many of them in this region, some of them were empty. And it's not – that's a great question because I think gentrification is a key issue in the U.S. right now. But I don't think in terms of the older retail strip malls and things like that, you're really not displacing anybody. You're just activating a formerly – either blighted or certainly underactivated space. So we are not advocates of blading older buildings and putting up new buildings and displacing the people who were there. We're advocates of going in and putting in the elbow grease to activate a formerly blighted space. So at localfirstaz.com, we have created a directory that has over 3,000 businesses in it across the state. 500 plus of those are right here in Tucson. So I would encourage people to think local. And again, we're not called Local Only Arizona. We're not called Local Always Arizona. We're simply called Local First. So if we could get folks thinking about choosing something locally, see if it's in the directory. If you go visit a business that should be listed and isn't, you know, give them a card. Say, hey, you should check out Local First AZ. We've built a network of about 200,000 social media followers. Even our blog gets read 10,000 times a month. So we can help those businesses identify themselves as local, get in front of people who are interested in supporting local businesses. And if you're interested in this and you're not a business owner, we also have the Localist program. You know, it's $20 a year, and we will send you insider, behind-the-scenes opportunities to meet the chef, go meet the food producer, and deals and discounts. So it's a way to pronounce your hometown pride for Tucson and become a localist. It's not expensive, and it's just another way to engage. And finally, I would encourage people to come out to the Food and Farm Finance Forum May 18th and 19th. U of A is our co-host, and there's so many opportunities. If you're even just thinking about starting a garden at home, come on out, and there'll be all kinds of people there that can answer your questions. And if you're a business owner in Tucson and you're interested in getting more engaged, go to localfirstaz.com to just learn more about what we do. We have monthly meet and greets here in Tucson, so you can come out and meet other business owners. We have resources that you can tap into, webinars, seminars. Help yourself get found online. You know, we took a business here in Tucson that was coming up on the 15th page of a Google search and got them all the way up to number 9. So with your search engine optimization, we can really help. It's not expensive to join. It's about $50 a year, and we provide a lot of resources for that.
Thank you for listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. Our guest today was Kimber Lanning. She's the founder and executive director of Local First Arizona Foundation. She told us more about the Local First Arizona movement in general, and in particular, the upcoming 4th Annual Arizona Food and Farm Finance Forum taking place May 18th and 19th at the University of Arizona's Environment and Natural Resources Building. You can learn more at localfirstazfoundation.org or localfirstaz.com. I'm Amanda Shager.